Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's episode is one of our Tiny Terrors minisodes, and I'm joined once again by my beautiful wife, Lauren.
Hey, everybody. This week, me and Tim are going to be recapping our trip to Durham, North Carolina, where we went to the historic Carolina Theater, and we were able to see Joe Bob Briggs' Indoor Drive-In Geek Out. But before we get into that, please go follow the podcast if you're not already on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on everything that we have going on. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so over at patreon.com. It's $2 a month. You'll get some special episodes and some stickers in the mail. And we are, you know, always adding new things to Patreon. So,
yeah. And of course, if you want to support the free way, you can do so by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Both ways are equally appreciated. All the money that comes in from the Patreon will go back into the podcast at some point, of course.
Yeah, it's appreciated. We love y'all.
With all that being said, we'll dive into our trip to Durham to see Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy the Mail Girl.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I love Durham. If you haven't traveled to Durham, it's an awesome little city. Where did we go? Shout out Ramblers. We went and had a few beers before we went over to this awesome restaurant called It's a Southern Thing and had some good food. And then, you know, we were able to walk to all these places from where we parked. And then we walked over to the historic Carolina Theater. You want to give a little background on that theater for those who don't know?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know too much about the theater. I do know that it opened up. It's coming up on 100 years in 2026. So it was opened back in 1926.
Wow.
And pretty much they're mostly known for showing retro showings. They do a bunch of film festivals, and they do like their own curated film festivals, like Retro Gothic. They're doing a Hitchcock film festival. And sometimes they do these showings that will be like festivals, but they're every Sunday, you know, and stuff like that. Not necessarily a straight up festival.
Well, and Splatterflix in October is always a fun time.
Yeah, the first time we went was this past October. We went to Splatterflix, which is pretty much usually the first weekend or second weekend in October, they show nothing but horror movies. So we got to see The Fly, Demons 2, and Friday the 13th for the weekend when we went. But
which was cool because our anniversary is Friday the 13th, so it lined up on our anniversary weekend. So we made a thing out of it, and it was so cool.
Yeah.
And the theater is just awesome. You know, we got to be in a more modern theater with actual theater seats and like your cup holders. And then there's actual like the bottom room is an actual like theater where they would have put on plays with the high balconies and the boxes. That's where we saw The Fly.
And Joe Bob, of course.
And Joe Bob, yeah. So yeah, Carolina Theater is awesome. Definitely, you know, the patronage helps them stay open and thriving, especially with these older films.
And especially because they support indie films. That's the one thing is they, like, during the year they show newer films, but it's mostly indie films. Like, right now, I think the only thing I noticed they were showing was Challengers, which, of course, has Zendaya in it. But it's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's either Neon or A24, which is, of course, more in the niche indie market. And it's a Luca Guadagnino film, who, of course, has done Call Me By Your Name, Suspiria for A24. So it's one of those things where it's, that's like more of the high class, I guess. Well, you know, not high class, but more, I guess,
top put 40. Into
terms. It's more, yeah, it would be like
the top 40 movies.
Yeah, the top 40 of indie. But like when we went and saw for Splatterflix, they were showing Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, and they fucking, well, I can't remember the movie to save my life, but they were premiering a movie that looked super goofy about like a killer, it wasn't a killer turkey, but it was something similar. It was like
You'll
a killer ostrich or something. Yeah.
Tim will edit it in. He'll do the research.
Yeah, I'll find it and put it in the, the non-existent outro. I'll just tack it on at the very end of this. But no, so, yeah, like you mentioned, we went to Ramblers, which is owned by past guest and friend of the show, Tipper, who played in Fever Strike, but if I'm not mistaken, he told me they're not doing anything anymore, but I think he's got another project coming, but Tipper will be on the show soon because he's going to help me with Carolina Fear Fest, but definitely shout out to him and Brittany, and if you're ever in Durham, definitely go check out Ramblers. They're a cool little bar. There's parking right near there, and it's within walking distance of the Carolina Theater, so you can go grab a few drinks and then head on down to the theater when time comes for your movies and stuff, especially if you go to something like Splatterflix,
right,
where you have a lot of hours in between, you know. It's, that's one thing real nice about having it in downtown is like, we, you know, we went to, it's a Southern thing, but there's also so many other restaurants that
right.
if you want to go see a movie in the morning, they start showing movies at like 9 a.m. or 11 for those Splatterflix things. So if you go for the whole weekend, you could see something, go get some lunch, grab a few drinks,
go back for another movie.
Yep, and then go see another movie. So
super cool.
But hell yeah. So of course this time we went for Joe Bob, which our plans are to go back for Father's Day for Maximum Overdrive and Creep Show. So shout out to them for doing that killer Father's Day double feature. But what movies did we get to see at Joe Bob's?
Okay, so at Joe Bob, the first movie was Bubba Ho-Tep, which I've never seen and was a really cool, hold on, I know the word. So it was a horror comedy, I guess. I'd say horror adjacent, but it's about people who live in an older care home.
Retirement home.
A retirement home, I guess. And one of them is Elvis Presley. And the other main character is a black man who says he is JFK. And it's so hilarious. But what I liked about it most was that the monster, this mummy that is coming to feed off of these old people's souls, was actually scary.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who did the effects for this movie, but...
K&B.
Okay. Yeah. It was awesome. And it was funny the whole time. And even the storyline, there was a storyline. I don't know. It was non-existent for real, but it was so funny. I loved it. 10 out of 10 already. I'm already at 10 out of 10. It was a fun time.
Hell yeah. No, I completely agree. And for those listening that are just now hearing about Bubba Ho-Tep, of course, it's directed by Don Coscarelli, who did the Phantasm films, which we love.
Yep.
Bruce Campbell plays Elvis, which was awesome. And K&B effects, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, Joe Bob did say they jumped in and did this for little to no money because...
They did it for just their, just the cost of their products because they wanted the movie to happen.
Yeah.
In Joe Bob's intro, he did kind of call it a cursed film. No one wanted it to be made. They had a lot of problems, but they made it happen.
Yeah. And they do it. The one good thing is that it's not a complete satire, even though it's like an old retired, you know, like, is he dead or alive, Elvis? They don't completely satire the character and make him like a joke of himself, you know?
Yeah.
He does have a growth on his dick that gets a little worked on the whole time, but no.
Oh, man.
It was a blast. And like you were saying, it was a fun experience to, like, I've seen the film before, but maybe once. Completely through and then in parts, you know, throughout time. But it was super fun to get to see it in the Carolina Theater with a, you know, crowd of like-minded individuals who love horror and horror comedies and stuff. So everybody, yeah. That's one thing I love about the theater that I want to mention is, for one, the popcorn's the best I've ever had.
Yeah.
As well as, and they have a great deal, actually. If you go, get the number 5. It's a large popcorn and a 24-ounce beer for, like, what was it, like $15 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
But it's a big popcorn and stuff. Yeah. And so definitely get the combo. And then the atmosphere is always great. Like when we went and saw the stuff at Splatterflix, it was great. We had a bad apple at this theater, but fuck him. So we won't even go into that because it wasn't worth ruining the time. It was like exactly. such a fun, just, it's always so fun to be in like an atmosphere of people that, you know, are not just there because they're there to see a movie on a Friday night. They're there because they love those types of movies.
Exactly. And also, it was just really cool to see Joe Bob in person and him to do his whole spiel. And he didn't hold back. He was truly himself. You know, no censorship on that man.
Yeah.
Love him. He was in the coolest freaking suit jacket that was white but had like a blue shift to it.
Very Elvis.
Yeah. Now that you say that, the bolo, just, he's amazing. And then shout out Darcy the Mail Girl. Beautiful. She's so beautiful in person. It like takes your breath away. She's just awesome. So it was really nice to see them. I'm sure we'll talk more about Joe Bob and Darcy at the end here. But the second movie we got to see is actually a top 3 film for me. Cult classic Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
They did not pay the director's cut, but I get it. You know, we didn't have enough time.
I was going to say, they're probably trying to save about 20 minutes of a double feature.
Right. Yeah. But it was really cool to watch a movie like that in the theater because I've never got to see it on the big screen, which a lot of people, I'd heard people talking around us like, oh, I've seen it a couple times on the big screen.
We live 3 hours from, even though we're in North Carolina, Durham is in North Carolina, but it's still a good 3-hour trip. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those people that are local have seen a lot of these movies retro, but we just heard about Carolina last year. And just started going. So I'm sure we'll see more stuff like that in the theaters. But those people have probably caught Donnie Darko at the Carolina several times. So.
Right. And yeah, that's just an epic cult classic. And I've loved it for a million years now. So it was really nice to see, get to experience it with you live and hear Joe Bob talk about it too. Because we all know it did not do well when it came out at all. And it found its audience after its release.
Yeah.
I think he said that I don't remember how much sold on like DVD and VHS, but they said it was like record-breaking numbers of the film that was sold. So yeah, I don't know. 10 out of 10. I'll give that one a 10 out of 10 forever. People hate it. People love it. No one knows what it means. I love it.
No, and like I mentioned on our monthly roundtable episode where we did horror soundtracks, one of the things about this soundtrack was the movie did so poorly that they didn't straight up release it. And it's got one of the best soundtracks. You got NXS, Tears for Fears, Joy Division. Yeah, Joy Division. Yep. You got so much good stuff. And it's just... and
that cover of Mad World by Gary Jules is iconic.
Even if you don't like those bands, you like those songs. Those are the one song you do like. So it's like... It's got such an iconic soundtrack that it's crazy that that didn't even get released, even though that alone probably would have sold enough money to make the budget of the movie back because it's such a great soundtrack. But eventually in the UK, they released it years later along with a double disc with the score from the film.
Oh, cool.
The only reason that the score got released a few years after the film was the composer himself teamed up with his record company and they just released a score for Donnie Darko because...
Who's the composer?
I don't know. I wish I knew his name, but you're fine. I have to edit. When I add in the title of that indie film that they showed at last year's Splatterflix, I'll definitely also add in the name of the composer for Donnie Darko for sure. So
for sure. Okay. So, what would you rate both of these films? We got to ask you, babe.
If I was going to do a straight up, like true rating, you know, like, of course, like, as a fan, you know, you give certain things 10s that you would, if you were looking at them as a critic, you'd give like a 7.
Right.
So, Bubba Hotep, because of what it is, that's another thing you got to take into consideration. It's an indie film. It's supposed to be a horror comedy, and it's playing on these over-the-top things and tropes. I give that an 8 out of 10 for sure. I think my only complaints are there's a few, like, storyline, like, characters that I wish we got more time with, you know, and stuff like that. And then there's, like a good 35 minutes of the movie at the beginning that I was, like, kind of hoping some more like horror shit would happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it was a slow burn, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily horror as in scary. I just would like to see like more of the scarab in the beginning that we see.
No, gonna say too, the scarab was super cool, but you only got like a scene and a half, maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
or even if we saw like instead of seeing flashbacks from the king being tortured, like having his bad, you know, thing happen, I would have rather see like the mummy going past somebody at night and scaring the shit out of them, even if they don't kill them, you know what I mean?
Right.
So show more of the mummy early. So that's my only complaint with that, 8 out of 10. And Donnie Darko is one that I'm with you. I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it years later. It blew my mind. I know people say it's confusing and stuff, and I'm like, it is confusing, but I feel like you can also give it a pretty quick, easy explanation when you dive into it. So I give Donnie Darko a 9 out of 10. I feel like, my only complaint with that, I honestly don't know if I have many complaints. I guess the fact that you have to, like...
think really hard.
I guess I would take a point because of the fact that it's not so, like, in front of you what happens. And, like, you do have to do, not some research, but some just, like...
thinking.
Day after thinking. Yeah. And stuff
I will
like that,
say so. The first time I saw Donnie Darko, you know, again, it was with friends. And we always watched the director's cut. But the first time I was like, this is a great movie. The second time I watched it, I was, like, bawling at the end of it. You know, because it's just one of those movies.
Yeah, you almost realize that he, like, puts himself in bed and tucked himself in to die on purpose because he knows that he saves the love of his life.
He has to be selfless. It saves everybody that he loves.
Well, that's the thing is people say it's him saving the world. I think it's him saving his love, his girl.
Yeah.
Jenna Malone's character.
The one thing that gave him anything to look forward to.
Because he's, like, a gloomy teen. And that's one thing I think is why it's a cult classic is because that character is relatable. Every other character is, like, either preppy or, like... You know, like you watch Varsity Blues. I love that movie, but I don't play fucking football. So it's like.
You can relate to Donnie Darko because everybody's had those moments in life.
It's like you're not the popular kid, but you're not disliked either. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people like that in life, you know, especially in this, I feel like that finds himself in this niche of like hardcore and horror and stuff like that. So
yeah, absolutely.
They're the type of people that most people get along with. So they're not disliked, but you're not the fucking popular kid. So it's like hard to be like, oh, I love that guy that's out drinking beers at a bar because he scored 3 touchdowns. It's like that never would have happened to me. Like, so
okay, all right, well, solid reviews, boo. Okay, and what else? So the Carolina Theater and like seeing Joe Bob in general, amazing. Yeah. I was so cute. He's just so cute, this cute old man. Personally for me, but he, you know, is an icon, and that's why I really, when the tickets went on sale, we were like, we need to go see Joe Bob. Like, how many more live events will he do? I'm sure he's going to keep doing them until he can't. But also, I'm glad we saw Donnie Darko because Donnie Darko is going to be on the drive-in. He'll never do it live again.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
I know people hate the drive-in being spoiled for him, but in the future, just know Donnie Darko will be an episode of The Last Drive-In.
Sorry, on Shutter, so. I'm so sorry. You can cut that out.
Well, we don't know when it's going to be, so. But, right. And no, I mean, I think it would be a pleasant surprise because that's the one thing about Shudder is a lot of times they do a lot of great films. Don't get me wrong. Like, they've done Mandy, they did Audition, they did House of the Devil. They do a bunch of movies that I really love, but it'd be nice. It's nice to see something like that. That's like a straight up cult classic. Like I've been waiting for them to do Halloween 3, which he finally kind of said why that hasn't happened. He said it's because they don't want him to interrupt the movie.
Yeah.
So it's
that's crazy when he said that. He said that some are contracted in that you cannot stop and have the commentary. It's got to play through. So he'd have to figure out maybe like a marathon. He could do something like that.
Yeah, he did say that another marathon was coming. So that's something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. He said it probably wouldn't be 24 hours because he was pushing for 24, but that there will be some sort of marathon. And then he pretty much said finally, you know, because he just felt like it was easier to just keep going with the joke of he hates Halloween 3, which of course he probably does, but I'm sure he would show it in a heartbeat for Darcy, but he pretty much did go behind the curtain and say the reason he doesn't show Halloween 3 on the actual Last Drive-In instead of he just showed it at the Jamboree is because the rights don't allow you to interrupt the film. So,
and that was the thing also, because there was a young fan when he did a Q&A before the first movie started. There was a young fan that so many people, this was one thing that kind of upset me, is so many of these older gentlemen were just busting out their questions, and there's this, 10-year-old kid with his hand up.
Good questions.
They were not great questions. It was fine. And the kid's question was, would you ever think about playing John Carpenter's The Thing? And he was like, I would love to, but that's another one where they don't want you to stop in the middle, which is understandable.
Yeah, and that's when he made the comment. And he was
Halloween 3. Yep. Yeah. So.
No, yeah, I definitely, and of course, it was... One thing I want to shout out is Recipes Roger Corman. That's wild that, you know, they have so much, you know, they've worked together so much. They did a Roger Corman special at the Last Jamboree. It's played, you know, live on Shudder. And for him to unfortunately pass away literally while we were seeing Joe Bob live or
Joe Bob found out.
Yeah, it definitely didn't seem like Joe Bob knew while he was talking because I found the news out when we left. So,
yeah.
No, it's definitely a wild...
coincidence.
Yeah, so it was rest in peace to Roger Corman. He's a legend in the business. So.
What else you got to talk about, Bae? Oh, Joe Bob did do a meet and greet, which was just a little upsetting because we didn't know. We had asked if there was going to be one, and they said no. So we didn't really get there early and prioritize getting in line, and the line was long.
Yeah, people were pretty much talking Joe Bob's ear off, which, I mean, granted, between movies, he said, hey, we're showing Donnie Darko. Come tell me what you think, you know, the movie means.
Yeah.
So he invited the conversation, but it just made, he was out there during both movies. And I checked multiple times, and the line never...
was moving.
Yeah, it never lowered. And, for instance, I have certain things that I would love to... as much as I would love to get Joe Bob... I would buy Joe Bob's poster, get him to sign it. I have so much Joe Bob memorabilia that I would love to get signed that it was slightly a bummer to be told that they weren't doing a meet and greet, and then they were literally doing a meet and greet the entire time.
Yeah, we would have got there early.
Yeah, we would have got there early. I would have brought either one of the records or one of the Super 7 figures, you know, Joe Bob and Darcy, so...
But it's something to look forward to in the future. Like, hey, we do need to go to an event to get an autograph from Joe Bob.
And yeah, and just know that Joe Bob and Darcy, if they're doing an event, even if it doesn't say there's a meet and greet, most likely they are, because that's the type of people they are. They are doing this to meet you guys, not just to show a movie or two and then
and
make
they
the money.
They love their fans. Let me tell you, you could feel it. So they were walking by us. To get out of the theater, and I was just like, Darcy, I love you so much, and she looked at me and was like, oh, I love you too, and she's just a sweetheart, and you could tell that she isn't the most, she's an introvert,
yeah.
Who has to be an extrovert often, and I'm sure, she loves the fans, but it's hard sometimes to be around that many people, so it was just nice that she made the effort. She didn't have to come with him if she didn't want to. Didn't talk.
A lot of those dumbass dudes with dumb questions are the type of people that hate on her, so I'm sure she doesn't like going into those types of situations because she never knows, especially, hate to say it, but we're North Carolina, we're redneck town USA, so
people miserable, and she's from South Carolina, so
she knows
people are already giving her shit for being from South Carolina, that's her home. Joe Bob asked, so do you prefer North Carolina, South Carolina? And she said, South Carolina, that's her home.
Stuck by her guns, so we definitely love Darcy, she's one of our favorites. We would go see it if it was just Darcy's
Oh, I would love driving. For her to do something. Darcy does stuff all the time. And I would love to go. Somebody said
when you're going to step aside and let her. Yeah.
Let her host and Joe Bob could be the mailboy. And he seemed down for it. So I'm hoping 2024, 2025, we'll get to see some of these things come to fruition. And it's nice to know that Joe Bob is still, you know, batting for the team with Shudder. He said that he's just annoying the crap out of them for stuff he wants to do. So I'm stoked for more from Joe Bob. We love The Last Driving around here. So
yeah. That and getting to be. Me, boo. Of course, that and getting to see Joe Bob in the Carolina Theater, as well as getting to do Hogzilla chants along other drive-in fans and drive-in mutants was a blast. So, no, we definitely will be back at the Carolina Theater, and we'll definitely go see Joe Bob again, whether it's in Carolina Theater or we have to go to Richmond or D.C.
The trip out of it.
He said his next thing that he wants to do is, because he did the history of rednecks in Hollywood, he wants to do the history of horror, but because horror is such a broad thing, then he might do genres and stuff like that. So if his next tour is the history of horror, I'll definitely be there, that's for sure. So
absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me on. I love to jump on all the time and talk things with you. I love bonding over horror.
Of course.
And what else did I have to say? You know, again, Carolina Theater, they definitely need everyone's patronage. So if you're in Durham, go check them out. They're awesome. Yeah.
If you're on tour and just going through Durham or Carolina, or, you know, Raleigh, they're not that far from Raleigh, definitely check them out. And if you're looking for a solid vacation, just check out what they got going on, because most weekends they have a double feature every Friday that's usually awesome. I'm jealous I don't live closer, because I would be there every Friday night.
Absolutely.
And then if they don't have that going on, they have some kind of semi-small film festival, or at least, you know, showings going on every weekend. Like I said, they do a kaiju thing called Kaiju Quest, I think. So they show like a Godzilla, or, you know, like that's, you know, Mothra or that style of movie, every Gamera or whatever it is, every other weekend. They're always showing Hitchcock, they're always showing the retro horror, retro gothic. So definitely check them out if you're in the area. And thank you guys again so much for listening. I appreciate you, and thank you so much for joining me, babe.
Of course. I'll see y'all soon.
Thank you. And this is where you'll hear the movie title that I couldn't think of from Splatterflix, as well as the composer of Donnie Darko. Here's that edit. Of course, the film that I mentioned that they played at Splatterflix this past year was a film called Reptchild. It's a little indie horror film that was filmed right here in North Carolina. And it's about a half-human, half-reptile baby that goes on a murder spree. So definitely check that out if you get the chance. And also, the composer of Donnie Darko was Michael Andrews. So shout out to him for just killing it, for sure. Thank you guys again so much for listening. Make sure you check back Thursday, as I'm joined by makeup effects artist Christian Tinsley of the upcoming Terrifier 3, as well as the recently released Renfield and a ton more. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.